Kick-Ass Dice, sharing tips to help empower you to take control of your career. Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us. This is episode 8 of Kick-Ass Vets podcast, and this podcast is all about kick-ass tips for veterinary relief locums. So as the vet industry changes and morphs, more and more vets are changing their jobs so that they get the lifestyle that they need and they want in their lives. And they're also promoting self-care and making sure they're putting their priorities first. As more and more vets transition to the locum world, we need to talk about tips to protect yourself as a locum because there can be some issues. So, number one, don't gossip. I can't stress this enough. You never know who is friends with who. Avoid politics, avoid gossiping, and avoid speaking badly of any other vet or clinic because it's just, A, you never know when you're going to put your foot in your mouth, terribly so. And also, you don't want to be pegged and targeted and labeled as somebody that gossips or talks badly about other clinics. The next thing that's really, really important, especially in today's vet industry, and because there's so much variability clinic to clinic, is learning how to say no as a locum. There are going to be times that you're going to be in clinics and you're going to be put in circumstances and situations where you feel uncomfortable, whether that's being asked to work extra hours, longer hours, shifts that you're not comfortable with, or whether that is being asked to perform procedures or surgeries that you're not comfortable with. Protect your mental well-being and protect your license and say no. If you do not feel comfortable with a surgery, you can say no. If you do not want to work those extra hours, if you don't want to work those extra shifts, learn how to say no. It's really important. Clinics are not going to not ask you because they can see you're burnt out. Clinics are struggling. Clinics are just trying to stay afloat. They can't see past their own nose to see any type of distress that you're in. So don't expect a clinic to say, oh, maybe we shouldn't have this person work 10 nights straight. If you say yes, they will take it. They're not going to die if you say no. They're not going to not hire you again. If you need to say no, say no. Another really good thing to have as a locum, especially going clinic to clinic where their medical libraries may vary, is to have your own set of resources. Having two or three really good textbooks you can rely on or a VIN membership is really, really helpful and can be invaluable when you're stuck in a clinic that doesn't have a lot of support, that doesn't have people that you can chat with, and you have a hard case that you need to work up. Having these books in case they don't have a library or having your own VIN membership is really, really helpful. Also, remember, you are never alone. There are emergency clinics in every country, everywhere, even if it's in a different country. There's always a 24-hour center open somewhere where you can call and ask for advice. 99% of emergency vets are going to be more than happy to chat through a case with you. We've all been there. We've all needed support. So if you're really stuck, feel free to call your local or not local emergency center for help. The next really big thing that I think is really important for locums is to get it in writing. Your hours, your wage, any overtime agreements, any agreements for, you know, travel allowance, meal allowance, whatever you have agreed upon with that clinic, make sure you get it in writing. The number of times that has happened to myself or colleagues where, you know, you agree on a rate with a clinic and then you do that shift and then you do another shift the next time expecting, you know, I've already agreed on a rate with this clinic. You do a shift the next time and they pay you half the price and you say, well, what are you doing? I thought we had agreed on this rate. They were like, oh no, it was just for that shift. Our normal rate is this. You know, clinics have lots of different little tricks and ways to pay you less. And, you know, they're not necessarily doing it on purpose, but having everything in writing is really, really important to protect you as a locum. Vet locum list is really good because it sends out an email to both employer and employee that lists the rate, the hours, the date, so that there can be no confusion on, or no quote unquote miscommunications on either side. The other thing that I think is really important as a locum, because there's so many different agencies that you can use to get work, and you might think as a locum, oh, it doesn't matter what the clinics pay the agencies, because, you know, usually clinic agencies don't charge the locums, they charge the clinics, and you may think as a locum that that doesn't affect you. The reality is some agencies take up to 15% of your wage as a finder's fee. Well, wouldn't you like that to be going into your pocket? Also, I've worked with agencies that have continued to harass me nonstop after I wasn't even working for that clinic anymore about whether or not I've taken shifts. I've heard of agencies, I've had colleagues where agencies have, when they've had to cancel shifts, even 2 weeks ahead of time, have held them responsible to then fill that shift and have guilted and bullied them to try to fill the shifts. So be really, really careful about which agency you use. Once again, Vet Locum List, it's an automated service. They're never going to harass you, never give out your information, and doesn't take commission. It's just a pay to post. So you'll never have those issues with Vet Locum List, but you know, any agency, you should get it checked out. Disclaimer, my husband did create Vet Locum List for me as a locum when I was dissatisfied and frustrated with the other options. So I'm obviously biased towards that service. However, I do think it is the best possible service you can have as a locum and as a clinic, and the cost to clinic is very, very small, so it's financially feasible for both. The goal of creating Vet Locum List was to eliminate all of the hidden fees and just have complete transparency between clinics and locums, and to try to help both clinics and locums get a better communication. So that's how it was designed. Another big problem with agencies, not to harp on that, is that they will call you, email, text you at any time of day. And sometimes you just want to have a day off. And if you're like most vets, if you get a call to work and you say no, then you feel guilty about it for the rest of the day. The nice thing about Vet Locum List, if you want to get notifications, you can, but if you don't want to, you can turn that off, and then when you want to figure out your work, you can log on to the site, look at the shifts, sign up for them as you will, but if you want to have a day off, you just have a day off. The other big thing as a locum, the next tip we'll chat about, is bringing your own equipment. So as a vet, a lot of times when you go to certain clinics, they won't have the equipment that you would like to have or would like to use. This might be something as simple as just bringing your own stethoscope around, because you get used to how certain sounds hear with your own stethoscope. If you're a large animal vet and you have your own portable ultrasound, that can be really helpful. You know, and if you are a small animal vet and you have certain equipment or have a certain interest, you can make that into a little side business. If you look on the blog, on this blog, there's an example, you know, if you have an ultrasound machine and you bring that around to centers, how you can work out a deal with the clinics, and then you can have that ultrasound. As ultrasounds become more and more portable, this is a potential for not just specialists and ultrasonographers, but regular vets to become trained up. You can take the images, send them to a specialist, and then reports can come through. And that can be a way that you can make more money on the side. The next big thing is the financials. You know, I said get it in writing, but the other thing is you need to pay attention to what is actually happening. The number of vets that I know that don't look at their payslips, don't make sure that they're actually being paid for the number of hours that they work. The number of vets that don't actually pay attention whether or not they're being paid the rate that they agreed upon. They just trust the clinic to have done all of that properly is astounding. And I'm also astounded how many times it's inaccurate, and by no one's direct intention, but just mistakes are made over and over again. So definitely check the finances every single time. In terms of rates, you know, locums and casuals should be charging at least 25% more than what a full-time vet should be making. See the Evaluating Your Worth blogs in terms of what they should be making. And that is basically accounting for the fact that there's no vacation time, no sick leave, and you don't have guaranteed shifts. You're often paying for your own, you know, insurances, you're paying for your own licensing fees, that sort of stuff. There's a lot of costs of being a locum, so a higher rate is appropriate and expected. The other thing is your taxes. In a lot of countries, if you're a locum, you can be self-employed, and there's components of your life like your rent, your car, your gas, electricity, internet, phone that can be written off. So talk to an accountant and determine what can be claimed as a business expense and whether or not you can be considered self-employed as a locum. The other big thing as a locum, and as I said, you know, insurance is one of those things that you're not provided for as a locum. It's really something that you want to hold your own insurance. So health and liability insurance or professional indemnity insurance, depending on what country you're in, you want to be able to make sure and know without a doubt that you are protected, because you never know what a clinic is going to do if there becomes a situation. And, you know, in Australia, for example, you can get professional indemnity insurance for, you know, $300, covers you for the year. And then you don't have to worry about it if you're working from clinic to clinic, or say you're working at a clinic, but then you're not working in that clinic anymore, and then there's a claim. You just want to make sure that you are well protected, and holding your own insurance is well worth it. I always hold my own insurance, even when I'm a full-time employee of a clinic, because I've seen too many scenarios where the relationship between the employee and employer has gone south, and I just don't trust anybody except for myself to protect myself. The other big thing and the other big tip as a locum is your schedule. One of the great things about being a locum is you can make your own schedule. However, one of the downsides is that you're not necessarily going to have a consistent schedule. So making sure that you are taking shifts in a way that is healthy, in a way that isn't going to cause you to have severe sleep deprivation, that isn't, you know, swapping days and nights all over the place, making sure that you're having time off in between is really, really important. It can help if you have relationships with certain clinics where you kind of have set shifts, and that can help you with your schedule. And you can decide, you can be kind of that preset locum that, yes, you're on a casual basis, but you kind of do these shifts regularly. Or you can be what I like to call the last minute locum, where you don't work as often, but you basically fill shifts at a last minute basis. And a lot of times these locums will charge, you know, 1.5-2 times their normal rates to fill shifts that are needed within less than 24 hours. You know, you're not going to have as much guaranteed work, so you can't really rely on that. But if financially you don't need to have that set consistent income, it's a way to work less and make more money, but you have to be able to be a little more go with the flow. So that depends on you, but really making sure that you create a schedule that fits for your life, that isn't overwhelming and overly complicated, is really important. The last part that I think is the biggest issue with locums, especially, as I said, in today's society and today's veterinary economy, locums are being just inundated with work. Will you work today? Will you work today? Will you work today nonstop? So setting limits for yourself on how much you'll work, the nature of work that you're going to do, is going to be very important. Burnout rate is going to vary from person to person, so you need to determine for yourself the number of shifts per month you can tolerate, the number of nights in a row that you can tolerate, what types of turnarounds you can tolerate, how often you can tolerate working at a certain clinic or not. All of these things need to be established, and you need to set those limits so that you're not burning yourself out completely. So overall, being a locum can be a great life choice. It can give you lots of flexibility. It can give you a great work-life balance. However, if you don't do it right and you don't kind of protect yourself and make sure that you're getting the rate you need, getting things in writing, and getting a good schedule, it can be worse than when you are working as an employee. So pay attention to these aspects and make sure that they're suiting your life and making sure that they are fitting in with your life so that you are not just continuing to become dissatisfied with the profession. And as I said, you know, double check everything, make sure that you're being paid appropriately, make sure you have your contracts set up. And as always, advocate for yourself, because you're the only one that will. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.